Hello and welcome to the Hindsight Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you join us. It's been a while you heard from us, and I must say it's been an absolute pleasure to read from your messages and of course checking up on the guys and what the crew have been up to. Well, I must say we've been up to quite a lot of work away from the Hindsight Podcast, but of course we had to come back and keep it going. I'm also joined in the studio by two fantastic gentlemen, Oluwole Ola and Olakunle Rufai. I'm going to start off with the latter. Rufai, it's good to have you on the show today.
Yeah, always a good time. I mean, I enjoy coming here to talk about football with the guys. So good to be back here.
You've got to get used to calling it the pod because we do a show every other day. So it's good to have you, Wally, on the pod.
Yeah, happy to be here. We hope to keep the consistency going from now. We've been away for quite some time.
Yeah, quite some time. Speaking of which, my name is Yubi Nduonofit. Please subscribe to the Hindsight Podcast on Google and Apple platforms. And also for more sporting content, certainly subscribe to the website or hit the website www.wolexis.com. Wolexis is spelled to W-O-L-E-X-I-S. .com. Well then, let's get into the conversation for today, because it's quite an interesting, or I should say a trying time for global affairs. We've been keeping an eye on everything that's been happening. We're here in Lagos, Nigeria, and I must say we're quite lucky to still be one of the countries recording the fewest cases of the COVID-19 virus. I'm not quite sure why they call it a novel virus, but it's pretty much been the global pandemic according to the WHO. Let's start off with that, gentlemen. How has this impacted your daily runnings as individuals? Certainly, social distancing has been one of the biggest calls in the media and across all platforms. I must say, for sure, it's even difficult to work now.
Obviously, it is. I think for me, the biggest impact has been the mental implication of knowing that something like that is around, something like that is going on in the world. And for anyone that knows Lagos very well, it's quite difficult to navigate through Lagos without being, you know, in close areas with lots of people, whether you're getting to public transport or you're going into the bank or you're going to, you know, places of worship as well. So it's been quite difficult. Like I said, the mental impact, you know, that thing that happens to your mind when you get touched by someone, or you're trying to buy something, or you get a change after buying something. It's just been very, very difficult to handle it. But you know, just take precautions from what we've seen from the reliable sources.
That would have been the list of our problems, wouldn't it? The mental impact, the physical impact is something where not so. That's where the real problem is. You know, the symptoms and everything. Just three cases, like I mentioned earlier, but like he mentioned, we're in a part of the world where the social distancing is possible, but in many ways impossible if you're, you know, on the road, in a bus stop or anything like that. More so when a lot of people on the ground don't even know what's happening.
Exactly, and we need to have more awareness. We need to have more test centers. Yesterday, Idris Elba, you know, tested positive, and his own case is quite unique because he doesn't have any symptom up until now. So you could have, you know, cases like that in Nigeria where people are actually positive and they don't know because they don't have any symptom at all. So currently we just have 5 test centers in Nigeria. We need to have more of those centers across the nation so people can get tested, and then they can begin to take those precautionary measures, you know, isolate themselves, and also quarantine themselves from other people as well. You know, in Lagos, especially in Lagos here, we like parties, we like social gatherings and social events. So we need to have less of that now.
It's quite interesting. You want to say?
Yeah, but more importantly, the government needs to know that they have to be proactive. It doesn't make any sense to always react. You know, we've had cases and those two people have fully recovered. I would have expected the government to say, we're not allowing this to happen.
Shut down
this
borders.
We have to shut down borders. We have countries that even yet to record any case of the coronavirus at all, and they've already shut down. They don't want people to come in because they can't afford. We have to be honest with ourselves. We can. The Nigeria is. Can we even call it a developing country? I don't think we can even, you know, call Nigeria that. So we have to be honest and understand that we don't have the.
We don't have the capacity. Yeah, to handle a pandemic.
To handle a pandemic. Yeah, so we have to be proactive.
Got to be proactive, certainly. And if you're just joining us and you're we're speaking about the coronavirus, which has been a major talking point. It's been the talking point across every single media platform, and it certainly affects every single one of us. I get the feeling this will change the way we view the world going forward, even after we hopefully defeat this virus. So if you feel any symptoms, please self-isolate, and of course call the hotlines as are available to you on social media. I think it's at point where people will need to actually get the hotlines out and put it on the door or something like that, just to make sure that in case you're, you know, your phone is down or something like that, you can actually say, you know what, just call that number, don't come into the room, something like that, just to make sure that we are all safe in this particular time. Well, then we're going to start off with the impact of the coronavirus on football. How should leagues and the FAs, UEFA, and manage the season, basically. One of the big talking points is the Euro 2020, which has been scheduled to now and hold in 2021. It's been postponed to 2021. Before then, the various leagues, the top five European leagues, were all closed down, suspended until the first week of April. We're hearing the Premier League, the Bundesliga, Italian Serie A is postponed until May, actually. The La Liga also. A couple of cases in Valencia and in Espanyol, we're hearing, but most importantly is that maybe a bit of a blue line, or rather a silver line, I beg your pardon, is that going forward, the leagues have the potential to finish the season, given the Euros has moved to a later date?
Yes, they have more time now to finish the league. I think it's important for this league season to be completed, rather than trying to end it abruptly for the next season to take effect in the right timing. I think that now that the Euros, as well as the Copa America, you know, have been postponed, you can now have the leagues being completed, as well as the Champions League and the Europa League as well.
Yeah. When you think about the leagues being it obviously allows the leagues to be finished.
Yeah.
But was that ever in question? Shouldn't that have been the easy option to take at the start?
I think that's what you would think, but because as at the time where the postponements happened, people, lots of the administrators and even fans were saying, we don't know when this is going to be, when this is going to stop. We don't know where football can resume as it is. So there's a possibility by the end of May we're still here and we can't play football, so what do you do then? So that's why lots of ideas were coming up as to what can happen. Do you render the league null and void? I think no chance. I think that's absolutely wicked. I think, you know, some people are saying end the league now, hand the title to the respective clubs on top of the table across the leagues, and, you know, decide on whether you relegate people or stay and play a 23 or a 22 team league next season. So all of these ideas are coming up, but I quite agree with Wole. The most sensible thing to do would be to end the league at all costs, and most I think that would be at the expense of the fans, probably play the rest of the season behind closed doors.
A couple of teams are looking to quarantine their players even after the ban has been lifted, just to make sure that they protect their assets as much as possible. Hopefully we can have some sort of a vaccine before that time. It's just a very grueling conversation to have, especially when you're not talking entirely about football. We're talking about, you know, players quarantining themselves. We've seen players on social media trying to make light of the situation, but hopefully in the next couple of weeks we can get some sort of a big breaking news that would say we found a vaccine and we can all move on with our lives. That would be, I tell you what, that would be a big breaking news. Well, let's talk about Liverpool, which Olakunle alluded to. I'm going to stay with him on that, because Liverpool have been one of the biggest talking points in the media. What do you do with their fantastic season already? Yes, they got knocked out of the Champions League by Atletico Madrid, lost that one game in the Premier League, so that unbeaten run no longer in view. But it's been an incredible season by any stretch of the imagination. A lot of people bring suggestions that, you know, because it's been such an incredible season, it would be almost unfair to not hand them the title, which I think everybody in this room agrees. Liverpool have been the best team in Premier League football. Mm-hmm. But this situation then makes it almost impossible to find a unanimous decision, because a couple of teams would say, look, if you end the season and give Liverpool a title, then what does it mean for the other teams across the table? You know, Norwich would say, look, we've got 9 games to go, we might as well have picked up a couple of points to keep us in. West Ham, Tottenham Hotspur, who might be loving the fact that, not necessarily loving it, but would be thinking, at least, you know, we're not having a great season anyways. But what do you make of it?
I think it's I don't envy the administrators of any of the leagues, the Premier League included. But just sticking with the Premier League, Liverpool also are in a very, very dicey and difficult situation. It's probably the best season they've had in the history of Liverpool. They're 25 points ahead of every other person, 25 points ahead of Manchester City. And that's the same team that the competition was very close last season. So to go 25 points ahead, they would definitely want to finish in grand style and win the title and celebrate the proper way. Even though we can all agree that they've been the best team in the league, and if you hand them the league title now, nobody would argue with that. But I think Liverpool
themselves... It's what happens below the table.
Exactly. But you get the feeling that Liverpool themselves would want to finish the season. I don't think they will want that thing over their head in the future where people...
You were handed the title.
You were handed the title. It were 9 games to go mathematically. Manchester City could have still caught up with you. I'm very sure...
Even when we have history of bottling.
Probably was never going to happen.
You have history with bottling in the league.
Even so who says you couldn't have lost it?
Exactly. So Liverpool would not want that. They would want to finish the season. But I quite agree with you. The most difficult part of the conversation is what happens with the top four battles, what happens with the relegation battles. Because... if you end the season now, lots of those teams will tell you it can't happen. I'm not going to get relegated.
Yeah.
A couple of them have picked up form in the last couple of games. Burnley, I think Watford
United.
As well. Manchester United as well, looking to get into top four. The only team at this point I'll probably feel like, you know, probably end the season now will be Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe a couple of that West Ham
Leicester,
included.
Chelsea.
Leicester City. I actually think Leicester would love it where they are right now.
Yeah.
If you end the season, they're most likely still going to finish in top four. If they don't, they'll probably finish somewhere around the Europa League places. So I think it's a very difficult conversation to have, but they definitely cannot run away.
I think for me, there's a better way to manage the situation. If you hand Liverpool the title, it doesn't mean that you also do not take measures to compensate the other positions that are at stake.
Yeah,
you could have maybe a playoff system.
So you're talking
a playoff system for
some mathematical formula,
or a playoff system for the top four as well as the relegation battle. Because to be fair, Leeds United and West Brom are away from the others in the championship dish, and they spent a lot of money, you know, trying to invest in the team to make sure that they can get to the Premier League next season. So I think it's also unfair to the teams in the lower division that are looking to get promoted and make some money. You could have a playoff system. I think the different leagues will use different approaches, because in the La Liga, you can't say you want to hand Barca the title because just 2 points.
Yeah.
You know, so Liverpool has 25 points. It's almost unattainable for any other team. You can hand them the title. If you don't want to do that, you play games behind closed doors, but you cannot end the other places that are still up for grabs. You cannot say the top four is the top four.
So what is the best approach then? What would you rather have?
A playoff system.
For me, I think it's also important to include that, because a lot of people would think about it and say, let's go to the rule book. What does it say in the rule book when something like this happens? And we've checked the framework of the Premier League. We haven't really touched with the other leagues, but in the Premier League, there's no provision for a situation like this, because obviously it's unprecedented. So there's no provision for something like this. That's why the meeting is where things will get resolved, and you know, teams would have to vote as to the decisions. But in my opinion, save for the fact that the situation was handled a bit badly in the UK as well as in Italy, it would have been easier to play these games behind closed doors for the teams in the top leagues, because you understand that some of the leagues in the Division 2, Division 3 are where they need to play with the fans in, because they need the money to pay salaries and all that. But for the top division clubs, you know, the match day revenue is probably
TV rights,
a third or 1/8 of what they earn in a season. So you can afford to play the games behind closed doors. And for me, I would absolutely want the season to end. Play the remaining 9 games.
That looks like the most viable or likely option. Well, the meeting would hold on Thursday. Obviously, we'd get to hear the updates as far as that decision. We're hearing that 14 Premier League teams at least would need to vote for any decision that would hold. I was reading an article on The Athletic. I think Oliver Kay was talking about, he was speaking to one of the club chairmen who at this point in time would not fancy the Premier League, you know, being handed to Liverpool. Then what do you do? Because if you hand it to Liverpool, that means that you're using what the table currently looks like, and you know, clearly would not be the best thing to do. Let's just refresh our listeners what the Premier League table looks like. I mean, we have to even refresh ourselves also, because it's been a while we took a look at that Premier League table.
It's been a while.
You mentioned 25 points and Liverpool clearly head and shoulders above Manchester City, although having played the game more than City. Well, City clearly, you know, favourites for that second position. Leicester City in third place, Chelsea in fourth place with 48 points. The point I was going to make as far as this Premier League table is that when you look at the 10th place on the table, it's just 20 points separates the 10th place team and the 20th place team. And with 9 games to go, 9 games are times 3, that's a 27.
A lot of shuffling could happen.
27 points maximum for at least Norwich City to pick up in that period of time. So there is so much that can go down in that period of time, especially when you have just 19 points separating the 10th and the 20th place team. So I don't think going into that Thursday meeting with the Premier League Supremos, I don't think ending the league the way it is would be a viable option.
Because some years ago, Wigan were in the position where Norwich are at the moment, and they were survive. Able to survive.
Yeah, so. With 27 points to play for, I think any team would want to take that.
The other part of the table that you need to look at is just 9 points between the 10th team, Burnley, and the 4th team, Chelsea. So it's really difficult to end the league now because a lot can happen. The league is closely knitted that in 3 games anything can absolutely happen. Like you guys rightly mentioned, Norwich could still survive relegation, and I think the likes of Manchester United, obviously Wolves, just 2 points behind United, Chelsea. Just 3 points behind Chelsea, Wolves just 2 points behind United. We'll be thinking there's a lot that can happen. We've had a good run of form. You cannot bet against the fact that Wolves will win their next 2 games. Based off how they performed all season. So there's a lot that's still up in the Premier League that needs to be contended with games being played on the pitch. So ending the season now, I don't think is an option.
I don't think it's pretty much an option on the table. Speaking of that championship table, well, Leeds United have had a stellar season so far. Had a bit of a dip in form sometime between November, December. Picked up around February.
Yeah.
Thereabout, but they're currently top with 71 points. They're better off than West Bromwich Albion with points better than West Brom, who's got 70 points. Fulham in third place with a 7-point deficit off the likes of Leeds United. Brentford, who are also looking to be in a player for that position with 60 points, same points with Nottingham Forest. And the top six finishes with Preston North End with 56 points. So I think the best option will be to finish the season and see what happens. Well, just before we leave that conversation, the Champions League also is in a bit of a conundrum. What happens when the season resumes? Because you've got a limited time now. Well, the Euros being postponed gives you at least until the end of July to finish things, but the players must go for at least a bit of a break. Or do we take this break as a real break? Then the players play all through the ball. We need to almost have a transfer window in the middle of that. Yeah. So the fixtures are one part of it. The transfers, the players whose contracts are ending. What do you do? Do you get another contract to say on the paper about playing basis? You know, what does that happen? Because on June the 30th, a lot of players' contracts expire.
Yes.
Or sometimes on July the 30th. So there's so much to go into the thought processes. We're hearing that Manchester United just extended the contract of Nemanja Matic. I'm sure they're thinking, we don't want to be in trouble, come that time. So, and to be honest, moving players in this period will be hard.
And also endorsements, Liverpool, New Balance, getting Nike for next season.
Exactly. Yeah.
How does that play out? A lot of people have mentioned the excuse or the option of force majeure. One lawyer I spoke to, Tola Gulewe, mentioned that force majeure actually comes into play when the potential of that act of God makes it impossible for an event to happen.
Not making it difficult.
So that's a bit of interpretation, I beg your pardon. So it's something that we have to look at, and maybe I'm sure the best lawyers in the world are working overtime to make sure that these questions are answered. We'll give you all that update.
So while all this is happening, what happens to the pending case we cast for City?
Well, I think that has to take a back burner for now. I'm sure City and Cass will be talking about that for quite some time.
I'm guessing that this ban will be suspended for at least next season, so they can have time.
Have time to do what?
You can't ban them if they've not had the hearing.
No, I agree, but the hearing is still going to happen. I think the court, obviously everybody's at home now, not doing anything. So the moment people can move, you go back to, hearing their case and deciding on what happens. I don't think this should stop you from banning them or suspending their ban. Suspend their ban to do what exactly?
To have more time for the hearing.
Well, hopefully, I get the feeling the ban is UEFA's ban, and obviously the reason the Court of Arbitration for Sports is there is that in case something, you have a bit of a discrepancy, you can go there. If the Court of Arbitration for Sports hear that case before the season finishes, then they can validate or invalidate
exactly.
the ban. But
exactly.
I think the ban would still be in place.
And you get the feeling that would be done before the end of the season, or at least sometime during the off season, right? Because there was a news I broke yesterday that lots of the clubs in the Premier League are committed to finishing the league at least by June the 30th. So very soon you'll hear calls for games to be played behind closed doors because you want the season to end.
Hopefully that is the case. And we're just hoping that whatever decision is taken, We were hoping that the players are safe, you know, the fans are safe, and everybody who's involved in football is safe to carry out those activities going forward. Right then, let's get on to one of the talking points, which coronavirus hasn't really allowed us to touch base with. It's been Odion Ighalo's impact at Manchester United. And we say that because he's having such a great time off the back of that loan move to Manchester United. We get the feeling he might get a contract extension. Solskjaer, beg your pardon, has been talking about it for quite some time. He says that they would be working on it because he's got qualities that the team needs at the moment, but will also need those qualities in the next season. I made a point in the last conversation about how difficult it would be to get deals done this particular summer. It might be one of the most peculiar summers we've seen in a long time. So, hence, important to keep the players you have.
Yeah, irrespective of the coronavirus issue, I think they've got to extend Ighalo's stay. He started with such aplomb, and when you bring in a striker at that age, you're not sure how he comes into the team. A team of young players, a team that runs a lot, a team that works a lot, and he's coming. He doesn't look out of place. He's scoring goals. He's playing very good football. When you look across other teams, the only reason people like Manchester City, a team like Manchester City, has been able to stay on top and, you know, still prosecute games irrespective of a couple of injuries is because they've got players to replace injured or out-of-form players. If Aguero doesn't play, Gabriel Jesus plays. If you look at Tottenham Hotspur, the only reason they're struggling is because they've got just Harry Kane. And the other player they've got that scores goals for them got injured as well. But they don't have another striker aside from Harry Kane. You look at Chelsea, the only reason, despite all of the injury troubles they've had, Tammy Abraham got injured. At some point, Lampard was playing Batshuayi. Now he's playing Giroud, another top striker. So there is no way you look at Manchester United and they've got, Rashford can play as a number 9. Martial also is saying, I can play as a number 9. But we both know that the only top class number 9 they've got right now is Odion Ighalo. So I don't see how they don't extend his contract.
Let me just play devil's advocate here. Extending Odion Ighalo.
You know, when you want to play devil's advocate,
you just play. You just play it.
You don't say.
Okay, all right. So what would you say about their transfer policy?
Yeah.
Odion Ighalo will be 31, if I'm not mistaken, this year. They have an option to sign him on
£15 million.
£15 million full time basis, right?
Yeah.
What does it say about the policy Ole Gunnar Solskjaer trying to build a young team?
How old was Cantona when he moved to United?
Exactly. I was going to go there, and I was going to go to Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I think those are very irrelevant conversations, in my opinion. I think what is the most important is, how good is this player? What does he bring to our team? We've seen what Ighalo brings to that Manchester United side.
Against LASK and other lesser teams.
Come on, you play the team in front of you. Are you trying to say that if you put... When he came on during the Manchester Derby, how good was he? He literally, aside from the error from Edison, I think it was
They were tired at the time, Sha. They were tired at the time. It was the end of the game. I get what you're trying to say. I understand, but we have to make a case for both sides, you know.
I think in this particular situation, there is no case.
To Mason Greenwood? What happens to...
Because when you go into a market looking for players, especially a striker, it's the hardest position to get a player. Even when you get the best players, you're not sure if they're going to come in and fit in.
Especially now.
You know, especially now. When you have a striker who was coming, hasn't looked out of place, scoring goals, teammates love him, the fans have taken to him, there is no downside to Ighalo's deal. You know, commercially, it's a no-brainer. And, you know, you're tapping into an African market that has the full weight of its fan base behind that player. So
as much as I agree,
I don't see how it's a loss.
As much as I agree, I think there's no reason to rush. They shouldn't rush to make any commitment. We saw that when they got Ole on full-time basis before the season ended.
So I think, on the contrary, I think they should actually get this thing done.
I think before. So.
Because the moment Ighalo is out of contract, I bet you at least 10 clubs across
will be looking to get him.
He will always prioritize
with a better wage structure, telling him, look, we've seen what you can do. You're 31. You know, are we going to play you as the top 9? Maybe not, but you'll be a valuable. I think Tottenham will take him in a heartbeat at the moment.
Immediately. They will snap your fingers.
I think Tottenham will take him in a heartbeat. I think you never know what happens to Aubameyang. I think he fits in Arsenal fantastically well. I think he's a better number 9 than Lacazette, for sure. He's better. He's just, you know, 2 or 3 years older than Lacazette. So I don't think he'll be short of options. You know, the couple of teams coming to the Premier League that would need a striker like that. And to think that he's come from China and his play at that level. That's absolutely amazing.
I think because I've heard this thing, I've heard these insinuations a couple of times. People saying, no, he played against that team in the championship, and then he played against that other team from
Derby and Lask.
But we have to understand the fact that irrespective of who you play against, how you perform in every game improves your confidence before you get into the difficult games. So as a striker, if you get goals anyway, friendly games, non-competitive games, competitive games against smaller teams, goals will get you confidence, and then you get into the big games and you absolutely start banging goals. So for me, it doesn't matter if he has played against teams for the championship. He's playing well, he's doing good. Playing for United is a big deal on its own. So for me, I think you get the deal done now, you get it done immediately.
I tell you what, I bet Radamel Falcao would have loved to score the amount of goals Gallo scored in this opening couple of games. I'm sure Andriy Shevchenko, I'm sure Fernando Torres for Chelsea.
Sanchez,
of course, also who is also on the... I mean, United would know about Phil signings. So to get a few correctly and throw it away would be something they would absolutely abhor at the moment. And Gallo has been a great, great revelation for Manchester United. It's one of the reasons I want the league to continue, so we can just and he's gonna stay longer at United. It's also be a 6 months deal, but I'm sure he's not loving it, but he will take every day that
he's
comes.
He's going to score more goals. The favor of God. He's going to score more goals. You see the confidence he plays with. That's my biggest credit for the man. He doesn't look out of place at all.
He's got a top mentality. Yeah. Top mentality. Yeah. I think his mentality is something that needs to be taught around, the academies in Lagos, and I'm sure he's having a great time. Speaking of Odion Ighalo, we saw a couple of players in training. I think it was the Barcelona team put out a training picture of players in balloons, big puffed up things. I'm not sure if it's quite authentic, but let's talk about the fitness of the players going into that potential return of the Premier League, the Bundesliga, the La Liga, Serie A. Just how fit would the players be? Because when you look at it, then a team like Liverpool, who play very high press and very energetic football, very direct, then it might become all of a sudden very dicey. How do you keep the players fit even when they cannot train with the same intensity and regularity that the normal season will be likely?
I think it's a really precarious situation, because let's start off first with teams who are on a good run before this suspension happened. They definitely won't like it for the players themselves and for the club, because when you're on a good run, you can't tell when everybody have got bad times and good times, and when it's good, you can't tell when it's going to turn bad. So you want to have that good for as long as you can. So clubs like that and players like that would definitely not like it. And I was having a conversation with someone, I think it was yesterday. I was saying that when you've played football for that long and at that level, it becomes the same way you wake up and you have to eat breakfast. If you wake up in the morning and you stay till about 11, 12 noon before eating breakfast, your body starts to tell you that you have not eaten. And you've come across people that will shut down completely when they've not had breakfast. They can be here listening to you, but internally or mentally, psychologically, they're not there because they've not had breakfast. And when you play football that long, it gets to that point when you can't training in the morning, going to club training, playing matches, it becomes like you have to feed yourself. It becomes like food. And when you don't have that, mentally, it can affect a couple of players. And also, not every player would have that discipline to keep at that level when they are not playing, when they are not at the club. Not every player. We've heard so many players tell you, when I'm on holiday. And that brings up another question. You're not particularly on holiday now. The season can resume anytime. So what do you do? So it's a very difficult situation. I'm sure the clubs will not like it. They'll be keeping an eye on the players and hoping that the players do not slack off.
It's even tougher because you're keeping an eye on yourself first.
Exactly.
Before keeping an eye on players. But he makes a great point, luckily, that not a lot of players can have the same discipline levels. I mean, Ronaldo clearly doesn't have a problem. I'm sure he's doing what he needs to do in his gym at home. And speaking of facilities,
not all players have discipline.
One, two, the facility to actually keep us fit.
The clubs are trying to give them that training.
Well, Manchester United, speaking of which, mentioned that they will still be having some training sessions. I'm not sure the players themselves would be smiling at that, because with players catching the virus every now and then, you don't want to mix up it. I don't care how much you're paying me, but I don't want to get that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And I remember, Yubi, we had this conversation. I think maybe it's important to add as well that the irony of the fact that people would have thought professional footballers, with how much training they get in, their immune system will be top-notch, will be up there. They're not supposed to be contacting this virus quite easily. Actually, the former Chelsea doctor actually said because of the
Eva
amount
Canario.
Of... Yeah, Eva Canero. Actually said because of the amount of sports that
they're more
play,
prone.
they are more prone to it. Their immune system. She was saying that test and blood test. Immunosuppressed. That was the word. That their immune system are actually more suppressed because of the amount of sports they play. So they are actually very susceptible to this virus, which is quite surprising. So the players themselves have got to be very, very careful.
Players being careful, I'm sure, is one of the things the clubs will be looking at. And I'm sure that whenever the league resumes, we would have a lot more questions to answer, from player fitness to contracts to, you know, potential transfer signings and whatnot. You know, I'm sure the groundsmen don't care about the stadium at this point in time. You know what, the grass can grow all in like, so could possibly get the much needed rest it's not had for quite some time. Right then, let's switch entirely from European football, because we cannot do a podcast today without mentioning the death of a Nasarawa United player in Chinime Martins. Rest his soul. Well, the player actually passed away in a game between Nasarawa United and Adamawa United in the Lafia Stadium. And this happened last week in the Nigerian Professional Football League. And I did since make a promise I was never going to call the league professional anymore. But the player, the summary of the story is that the player collapsed on the pitch and didn't get the required medical attention to get himself resuscitated. And the crowd around him just were clueless as to the steps needed to, you know, CPR wasn't done. If it was done late. It was just people.
It wasn't done at all.
It was just people panicking, and
the ambulance wasn't starting.
Ambulance wasn't starting. They had to push the ambulance to start. A lot of people called the ambulance a hearse because, I mean, ambulance didn't quite look like an ambulance. We're hearing the state governor was at the stadium at the time. The question we have been asking ourselves, myself, Olakule Rafai, you have been in the conversation as well, Wale, is, you know, we hear state governors drive around with a full team. One of the convoys, in the convoy, I beg your pardon, is a medical kit and your full ambulance. Why wasn't that used on site for the player? We had to go dig the framework of the LMC, the league management company, the people who are responsible for running the league, and the statutes in place say that the LMC are almost the regulators. The away club should have some doctors too, but the onus falls on the home club to have at least two doctors certified by the Nigerian Dentists and Medical Association of Nigeria, a physiotherapist also on ground. So at no point in time should two parties not have a doctor on scene. So it was just a comedy of very grave errors that, you know, cost the late Chinime Martins his life, and we're praying for the family at this point in time. But we're hearing a committee has been put up together to combat against future occurrences like this. The LMC did gaffe the next morning after the young man's death, putting out a tweet saying, throwback to the period where we gave out defibrillators to the clubs back in 2015. This happened in February of, was it February?
Yeah, for February.
It was February or March?
March.
March, actually, early March.
Just last week of March,
you know, early March. Talking 5 years difference from the time they gave out the defibrillators to the clubs, you know, who was monitoring the defibrillators in that period of time. Guys, your two cents?
Well, I think, first of all, in Senna climbs, you have people, you know, resigning, saying, this happened on my watch, then I can't remain in this position. But that hasn't happened. You have to understand the fact that it's the same way where if you have a kid and you have a rule in your house and you say you must go to school, doesn't mean you don't wake up in the morning to make sure that the kids get up, go have his bath, and, you know, go to school. You have all these rules in your framework. You have to make sure that the clubs are actually abiding by those rules. And the NFF, the LMC, they've done a lot of knee-jerk, reactions, putting things in place.
Finger pointing almost.
Yeah, finger pointing, and now trying to put things in place. We heard this morning the NFF president saying if the stadiums that do not have all these required materials would not be used to play MPFL games. These are the things that should be in place if you're running a professional league.
Someone didn't have to die before
that
became a realization.
Exactly. So what are we doing?
How many other things are being done the wrong way that we don't know about?
Exactly. And
something else happens.
That's exactly where I was going to. I was going to ask the question. The moment Chinime Martins died, God rest his soul, games happened the following week. Can the LMC confidently tell Nigerians that every single stadium that prosecuted games immediately after that young man died had everything that they were supposed to have? Can the LMC confidently say that? And they were putting out press releases saying, you know, going forward, no games will be played if you don't have all these things. Can you confidently tell us? And I think, again, the LMC do not know the magnitude of the job that they've got. This is one of the biggest football playing nation in Africa. One of the biggest football playing nation in the world. The LMC do not know the magnitude of the job that has been handed over to them. After such a tragedy has happened, you should be giving lots of information to the masses, to the Nigerian football fans. This is what we've done with this stadium. This stadium, so-so game is happening here. This is what we've put in place. This is the ambulance for this match day. Just to show that, okay, it is a reactionary measure, but we're putting a lot into it. But they've more or less gone on like business as usual, normal service, and it's quite appalling.
Well, I also wanted to say, hopefully the National Sports Festival, which was cancelled, also
postponed
basically to a further date we don't know yet, also will be taking those measures very seriously, because, you know, any sports that is contact, you know, and even when it's not contact, you need to have some sort of medical aid on standby, regardless of.
I hear Edo. I mean, the governor of Edo State, said that they were already ready for any form of issues that could arise, yeah, as well as the COVID-19 as well. I think
they do have a testing facility.
Yes, I think they are more prepared, because the meeting that was held as well for the aftermath of this death was held in Edo State as well.
Yeah.
And the LMC want other stadiums to take a cue from what they met in Edo State.
Isn't that only because the state is
preparing for
to host a
And I was going to ask a question. Tournament. I was going to ask a question. Have you ever been to any of the sport festivals that has happened before now?
No.
The one that happened in Lagos. They used University of Lagos a lot then. And I remember, you know, I used to go there, SEA Games, and some of the...
when they used the hostels.
Hostels.
I remember.
You can remember what happened after the National Sports Festival that happened in Lagos, after they used the hostel. Something happened in UNILAG, and it took years. I'm not quite sure UNILAG has been able to, you know, overcome what happened. I don't know if I can say it on it. Can't you remember when the bedbug investigation
happened? Bedbug, yeah.
UNILAG?
You still have it now.
It happened right after the sport festival. So it is a big deal when you have something like this coming. I don't care what the Edo State government are saying. We have measures on ground to battle this thing, to handle this thing. Shut the thing down. Suspend the entire thing. And that's what has happened.
Well, that's certainly what has happened. We have to call it quits on the podcast today. It's been a robust conversation as far as the COVID-19 virus. And pretty much everything has been centered around that across the world. Not just football, not just NBA. Everything has been shut down, literally. And the US and the UK are doing as much as possible to fight. We're hoping that the scientists have the wisdom to come up with the vaccine as soon as possible. Italy have been one of the hardest hit nations. China, we're hearing almost at a full recovery. Nigeria, according to the official statements, have recorded just 3 cases up until when this podcast, of course, was recorded. So we're hoping that things continue to look up. We're also hearing that there's been lots of recoveries from the COVID-19 virus, and we're just hoping that the good news keeps trickling in and trickling, and hopefully we can get our normal lives back. But for football people, sports reporters, we have been nail biting. So we're going to do the podcast a lot more than we expected to. Hopefully, Wally lets us do that. But gentlemen, it's been good to have both of you in the studio for the podcast today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I need to add, I think it's just been very good that some of the guys that we work with, it's not just... putting out sporting updates, you can actually have conversations, and that's why, irrespective of the fact that football is not on, the NBA is not on, we always have something to talk about, and you know, the podcast is one of them.
I also have to do a mention to the loss of life and property at the first Akabulodu explosion here in Lagos. I mean, it's bad news after bad news, but. Yeah. Our thoughts certainly go out to
feel like we should start 2020 all over again.
Yeah, our thoughts go out to each and every one of the people.
And I think also Yubi, because you're never sure who listens to the content. You remember we were having a conversation about what the Lagos State Government could have done with the toll gates in Lekki.
Yeah.
Say, put a sign out there and say, we're taking money from social time to social time for this number of days to help Abule Ado. You see how Nigerians will come out. And I was going to say, government also said the $2 billion fund has been approved for Abule Ado. I think irrespective of what people might think about the government, we should all at least help in any way we can.
Yeah,
you know,
just to make sure that
show
empathy to exactly. That's how it's done across the, the world. You know, crowdfunding is a powerful resource, and obviously the questions of transparency has been raised, and you know, if the government's putting a 2 billion fund down, and you know what they're providing on their end is 250 million naira, you know, I mean, should we really be the ones, you know, providing the extra 750? But look, I'd say for humanity's sake, and for you know our brother's sake, go out there and put something on the table, regardless of whatever it is, you know, just put something. I think it's a GT Bank account.
Hopefully that account
the GD Sonwulu account is verified, because the account is not verified, the state governor's account.
It's not verified.
So hopefully
that's his official account.
Okay, hopefully we just were making sure that people are getting the right. Nigeria is like that. You can hear that it wasn't the stick. Anything can happen.
Yeah,
you
true.
Know. So hopefully that is the case. And just like Olakunle rightly mentioned, I think it will be a very novel idea if those electronic boards at the Lekki toll gate or said, look, we're taking money from 10 million cars.
Yeah.
You know, to redirect to the Fasak Abole Odu people. And you would, I can tell you, you know, I know how Nigerians are very, very emotional. We can rally up together. If you say we're taking money from 10 million cars, and every day there's a countdown, you know, so the next day you have 9.5 million cars to go. I tell you what, people were literally making turns at the roundabout just to make sure that,
something.
You know, we can give money to the people at Abole Odu, because it could have been any one of us. So on that note, we call it quits, curtain close on the Hindsight podcast for today. Remember to visit the website www.wolexis.com. Wolexis is spelled Wolexis. And of course, subscribe to the podcast on Google and Apple platforms. We'll see you in a very short bit, not too long. I promise to see you soon. Click, click, bang.